Hello and welcome to Encounter, the show that brings you the life-changing encounters of ordinary people that launch him into lives of extraordinary mission. My name is Dan Dimite, and we are joined here in studio with my good friend and brother in Christ, Patrick Rice.
Hey, Dan.
How are you doing, Patrick?
I'm so good.
Dude,
how are you?
Incredible. Today's show is going to be amazing. We're going to talk about so many things.
Why?
Because we have the Lord with us,
yeah.
Right? Like, we're talking about Jesus Christ.
That's good news.
And Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, right? And so this is good. It is good. It is good news. It is good time. But we're having on the show today our good friend, Brendan O'Rourke. And Brendan's just an amazing music minister. He's an amazing minister of Jesus Christ. He lives with authenticity and true worship of Jesus. And so we're going to hear from him later in the show. But before we get started, Patrick, can you open us in prayer?
Yeah, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, we love you. We praise you. We adore you. We bless your holy name. Lord Jesus, you bore every wound on the cross.
Mm.
By your stripes, we were healed, Lord. So, Lord Jesus, I pray that you stir up a spirit of faith in us, Lord, that you, are the divine physician, are able and that you desire to bring healing to our bodies, healing to our hearts, that you are forming us into your image, Lord, so that we can bring heaven to earth, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So, Lord, I pray for a spirit of faith, wisdom, and revelation just to flow upon every listener today in the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we just pray for your abundance. Lord, I just see a banquet, a huge banquet, a table that overflows. Your cup overflows, your banquet overflows. So we just pray, Lord, that we would see just the abundance that you've placed in our life, that we wouldn't see where we lack, but that we would see where your goodness is always before us, Lord. We just pray that you would give us new eyes to see all that it is that you have given us. Lord, redeem us, restore us, renew us. You are everything. Allow us to find you and to know you. We pray all this in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Patrick, so I just want to start today. I think, you know, there's a lot of Christians out there who live their lives, a lot of Catholics who live their lives having encountered Jesus, yet not having surrendered their burdens over to Jesus, right? It's almost as if we are Catholics who proclaim that we have been renewed in Christ, yet we still wear our chains, right?
Yep.
Like, isn't that dumb to say, hey, Jesus Christ has set me free, but I'm still wearing chains?
Yep.
That doesn't make any sense. That Jesus Christ wants to set us free so that we're no longer living in chains. He wants to heal us from our woundedness and bring life into our hearts and our souls. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
I'm in agreement with you.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And in order to find that, we need to know who Jesus is. We need to know that Jesus Christ, he doesn't just want us to give our lives to him or to be Catholic or to go to Mass, but that his purpose is to heal.
Mm-hmm.
And his purpose is to renew and to restore us. Like, he didn't come so that we could conform our lives to him. He came so that he could transform our lives in and through him and that we would know him. And so I just want to read from Matthew chapter 11. Jesus, he says, Jesus is brokenhearted. Like, Jesus is so full of joy, but he's got a broken heart still, right? Because his people are suffering and he doesn't want us to suffer. And this sorrow in the heart of Jesus, he says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. And Jesus, he wants some. That first word is so powerful. What's the first word, Patrick?
Come.
Come, right?
Come.
Come. And our prayer, are we coming to Jesus? Are we coming to him with our weariness and with our heavy burdens? Jesus doesn't want the perfect. Patrick, are you perfect?
I'm working on it, but no.
No,
yeah.
None of us are perfect. He alone is perfect, and he perfects. And so Jesus is saying, hey, you come to me so that I can come in you, right? Come to me, you who are weary. It's okay that you're weary. Come to me. You who are heavy burdened, it's okay that you're heavy burdened. Come to me. I haven't come for the perfect. I've come to perfect the imperfect. And so come to me, you who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. That he wants us to rest with him, that ultimately his desire for us is that we would find intimacy and rest and peace with and in and through him. And who is rest?
Jesus,
right? That when we come to him, he isn't coming to fix us. He's coming to enter us.
You know, Dan, I think one of the most scandalous things, I think this hard for us to receive. I think the question is like, are we good receivers? You know, I think you're really speaking to this call to receptivity, because Jesus is all about give. And he says, I want you to receive, receive my love. And then, you know, like, how good are we at receiving? I think a lot of times we put conditions on when we can receive. Like, well, I'll come to Jesus when I go on retreat, or I'll come to Jesus maybe when I'm at Mass, and if I get a chance to, you know, have some quiet time. But, you know, Jesus wants us to come to him all the time, especially in storms. And one of my favorite stories is, you know, the disciples on the boat during the storm, they're tossing and turning their life. You know, it's that perfect parallel of our life is a storm and crazy stuff's going on. That's when we really need Jesus.
Yeah.
And actually, what happens? Jesus walks in the water, and then he says, come, Peter, you know, come walk on the water with me. Like he is always telling us to come, especially in those stormy times.
Yeah. Amen. Last night I was actually at adoration. I was praying and I kept talking to God and we were worshiping and singing songs. And at one point Jesus just said, hey Dan, shut up. Like, just sit down and receive right now. And so I sat down and just stopped talking, stopped thinking, and just started breathing. And it was this amazing peace just came upon, right? That the Lord, he wants to renew us and restore us, not through going to him constantly in prayer and talking, but he just wants us to receive sometimes.
I think one of the biggest, maybe for a lot of people, it might be a scandal, but I hear like, in our church culture right now, there's like all these different spiritualities, and there's like, oh, I'm into Bible studies, or I'm into social justice, or I'm into praise and worship, or all this. And then there's like, I'm kind of into the mystics, you know, and the mystics are kind of like over here. They have these supernatural encounters with God. But then, you know, I'm into Liturgy of the Hours, and I kind of do my things, or I'm Marian, I'm into the rosary and devotions. But here's the problem, like mystics cannot be another like over here thing. Okay. I'm mystical, like, because I have mystical experiences, but I'm not a mystic. I'm a Christian. I'm a disciple. Healing doesn't happen outside of a mystical encounter with God. Every encounter is mystical. The root word is mystery. All right. Everything about the Christian faith is a mystery. And when we come to Jesus, like you just experienced, Dan, you had, when you stopped talking and doing, you know, human, interaction, you received a mystical encounter with God, and that's normal, Dan. This has got to be normal.
Patrick is getting inflamed. Yeah, no,
yeah,
truly.
We are all called to be mystics.
Well, and
that's a receiver. A receiver is a mystic.
You receive the supernatural into your life, right? And so the natural plane should be supernatural for us as Christians. And that's,
what'd you just say?
The natural plane should be supernatural. The
word.
We want our natural lives to be supernatural. And when we approach Jesus in prayer, we should expect that he's going to come, right? Like,
yeah,
that when I come to him, he's going to come to me. And and when he comes, he comes. Like,
yep.
It's actually a mystical experience. And
you
so,
don't have to be like John of the Cross, Teresa of Avila. You don't have to be a Carmelite. You don't have to be a lay Carmelite. You need to be a Christian. You have the Spirit of God living within you, and God wants to take you to the second and third heaven on occasion.
Amen.
To heal you, to let you know who he is. And I don't think without that kind of revelation, we can actually be Christians, bro.
You know what's so powerful about Teresa of Avila too? She had a conversion, and she enters into the convent, right? Like she was a converted Christian living a life in grace. She enters the convent, and clearly, I mean, if you enter the convent and become a nun, you've got some kind of a relationship with Jesus, right?
Mm-hmm.
But years go by, and she finds herself still in the state of grace, but just living like, I need more. That,
yeah,
God's not done with me, that I want more. And she describes a second conversion that we can have. She had a conversion when she was in her young teenage years, and then she has a second conversion in her 30s, right? The God, he's not done after we encounter him once. He wants us to encounter him again and again and again. And he wants to draw us deeper into his mystery, deeper and deeper and,
actually,
and deeper.
We call it a second conversion, but for her, I think she called it like her first fundamental conversion, where she said, you know, I'm in this convent for like 20 years, but I didn't have my conversion until I actually met Jesus.
Yeah, and he came into her, like, really.
Yeah, like there was this mystical encounter. And I think a lot of, like, Catholics, you know, myself included, we have this conversion to the church. And so, like, we come to know, like, the beauty of the doctrines, the moral precepts, and we get the order, and, like, this is Christ's church. And so we have this conversion to the church, and then it's like, you know, it makes sense, and then faith flows, like, our faith flows from the church. But I think the problem with that is that, like, that's God wants more, and he, you know, Jesus didn't die on the cross to give us a relationship with moral principles and doctrines. Jesus Christ died on the cross to give us a relationship with the Father, right?
Amen.
And that's like, that intimacy happens in a mystical mode. And so, like, when we're talking about, when we have Brendan on, Brendan's going to be talking and sharing these stories. And, you know, it shouldn't surprise us when he talks about hearing God's voice and having these profound encounters. So I just want everyone to know that, like, this is normal. This is good. Like, if you're not open to that, God's not going to give it to you. But we want you to be open to that in your own life.
Patrick, is God done working in your life?
No, he's not. I'm so hungry for more.
Is he done working in any of our listeners' lives?
No.
No, if you think you've encountered Jesus in your life, you have, but you haven't encountered all of him.
Yep.
Right? Like, that he has so much more for you. The word mystery in the Greek understanding of mystery is that it's this unquenchable reality, that when we use the word mystery as Catholics, the mystery of God, or the Paschal mystery, or the mystery of the Eucharist, what we mean by that, it isn't something that is solvable, like a murder mystery, right? It's something that's unquenchable. Mm-hmm. It's like this, for all of eternity, we'll be in heaven and we'll be worshiping the Trinity, the mystery of God, for all of eternity, and we'll never, ever be quenched, that we just have this constant thirsting, and God always fills it with more and more and more. And he wants to fill you with more and more and more. But in order to receive that, we always have to come. We have to come with our weariness. We have to come with our burdens, right? Come to me, all who are weary and heavy burden, and I will give you rest. And then he says this, Patrick, he says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Right? Isn't that interesting that Jesus, he's not saying, hey, I'm going to take your yoke, this burden off of you, and just let you walk free. Actually, I'm going to place my yoke upon you. That I'm not just going to free you for the sake of freedom so that you can do whatever you want in life. I'm actually going to place my authority upon you. And you've been living under your will and your will, or the will of others, people who are living under their own will and their sinful lives. It's caused these burdens upon you. It's caused this weariness upon you. But now I'm placing a new authority in your life, not your own authority, not selfish authority, my authority. And my yoke is what gives you rest. My authority is what gives you peace.
And I think a lot of people get scared by authority. I mean, like, I remember as a teenager thinking, like, what? That's my freedom. But that God's authority is not an external, here's his rules or here's his will and you just have to go do it. His authority is a heart authority. Mm-hmm. He wants to put his heart in you, right? So that his desires become your desires, and then you want to do his will. You're like, his authority is gentle. It's internal. And then it becomes easy and desirable, that, like, God doesn't call us to do things or put us under authority for something that we don't want, because he's transforming our heart once we surrender and give our heart over to him. He replaces it with his heart.
Yeah.
That's a good word, I think.
Oh, it's a great word. So the authority of Jesus is the will of the Father, right? And mm-hmm. So if we're living under the authority of Jesus, we are living under the will of the Father. And Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of God, but only the one who does
the will of my Father,
right? And so if we're not doing the will of the Father, if we're not living under the authority of Jesus, if his yoke hasn't been placed upon us, then we're not living heaven, right? The heaven wants to come down to earth, and the supernatural wants to become natural to us. But if we're outside of the authority of Jesus, we're outside of the Father's will for our lives, then we're probably not going to experience that mystery in our lives.
And so I think we got the key down for our listeners. First, you got to come to Jesus. He wants to transform you. And it happens in this mystical way. And I think one of the other things I love about Brennan's talk is that there's we don't know how it's going to manifest. Okay? And like we need to like give up control. Like, how is God going to transform me? How is God going to heal me? And one of the stories I love in scripture is the wedding feast at Cana. And Mary personifies like what it means to come to Jesus. Not like, Jesus, I need you to heal this by doing this thing. Like, we can't have an expectation for what that looks like. You know, there's a problem. They run out of wine, and Mary doesn't say, hey, I want you to, to go and like, and pray and have all these wine people just randomly show up with this wine. Like, she doesn't tell him how to do it.
Huh,
she tells
great.
Him, here's the problem that we have. And I'm your mom. And like, you're, because of who I am, I know you're going to come through for me. I don't know how, but I'm okay with it. And because we're God's sons, we know that if we bring this to him, he's going to do something about it because of who we are. And so she says, do whatever he tells you, right? And then Jesus is the one that has this creative miracle where like he chooses to use this dirty, water that's used for purification to turn it into the greatest, wine that's ever been experienced. Mm. All she did was like, was say, here's the problem, do whatever he tells you. He's going to show you how to do it. And so Jesus' solutions are always unexpected. And so what I love is that in Brendan's, we're going to be hearing from Brendan, like what God is doing in his life is unexpected. So mm-hmm. good.
Amen. Amen. So the last thing before we bring Brendan on the show, he's a worship minister, right? And I love, the word worship, because I feel like in our world, we have forgotten that God is outside of us as well, right? That God wants to dwell inside of us, but we've got this culture that's moving into this new age spirituality that is trying to discover the spirit within, right? And like in our life, of course, like Jesus Christ, he gives us the gift of the Holy Spirit, and God is within us, and we are temples of the Holy Spirit. But God is ultimately transcendent at the same time, that he is a God outside of us, and we are called to discover this mystery, this transcendent reality of God that will never be quenched, and simply worship him, fall on our face and say, God, I need you. I need you because you are so much bigger than me. You are so, you are everything. And I am just this tiny little speck on the earth, right? And you who are everything, it pleases you to come into my life. And so worship just calls us deeper into the heart of Jesus. Patrick, how have you found like worship has transformed your life?
Oh, because I come to know who I am. I'm a son of God. I get to worship my Father, and I get to focus on his face. I don't focus on my own problems. It pulls me up to heaven because I get so lost in who he is. And when I get lost in who he is, I know who I am.
Amen to that.
It's simple.
One time we were praying with a group of people who, and the spirit of the room was just very heavy burdened. It was strange. And they were singing the words of the song, and I remember just crying out to Jesus, and I said, Lord, why aren't you coming through and breaking through into people's lives right now? Like, why is it still heavy burdened even? And he said, Dan, worship me and be set free. Worship me and be set free. And I recall just sharing that word with the crowd, like, hey guys, are we worshiping right now, or are we just singing songs? Like, are our hearts actually worshiping? And it was like the spirit of the room just transformed immediately, that the people began to worship and chains began to fall off. Like, we can't just sing songs as Catholics. We need to worship God. That's where freedom comes.
And from the Catechism, Dan, paragraph 2097 says, the worship of the one God sets man free from turning in on himself, from the slavery of sin and the idolatry of the world. So, Lord, we just pray that as you prepare this next segment when we have Brendan on, that you would just turn us away from the idolatry of ourselves, that our hearts would be set upon you, And we just thank you, God, for everything that you've done in our lives. And we just say we want more, Lord. And I just pray for deeper encounter, a deeper openness to mystical revelation through relationship with you and who we are as your sons and daughters and who you have called us to be, priests, prophets, and kings in the world. And we pray all these things in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
You're listening to Encounter Production of St. Gabriel Radio. When we come back on the air, we'll be joined with Brendan O'Rourke.
Boom.
Hello, and welcome back to Encounter, the show that brings you the life-changing encounters of ordinary people that launch them into lives of extraordinary mission. So right now, we're going to welcome to the show a good friend of Patrick and I's, Brendan O'Rourke. Now, yeah, Brendan, hello. How are you doing, Brendan?
Good, how are you?
Hey, I just want to brag a little bit about Brendan. So not for his glory, but for the Lord. So just Brendan is an incredible spirit-filled and spirit-led worship minister and also a youth minister. But really, he's just a minister to everyone he's in relationship with. Brendan had, I was hanging out with another friend of ours yesterday, and I was sharing with him how you radically changed my life a few years ago, Brendan, because you in his prayer life, he just always brings what God is doing in his prayer to the surface and in such a real way. And a few years back, I don't know if you remember this, but you just fell in love with the name of Jesus. And everything he said, and still to this day, everything you say is always about Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And just through being in relationship with you, I fell in love with the name of Jesus, and it transformed my life where I just wanted to say Jesus' name all the time. And then it convicted my heart that we need to say Jesus' name more and more. And so in our preaching and in our ministry, we began to use the name of Jesus more. And then people would come up to us and be like, it's amazing how often you use the name of Jesus. And that just has inspired me of the value of the holy name of Jesus. And so just like through being in a relationship with a spirit-filled person, it impacts your life, but then it also can impact so many other people's lives. So I just thank you for your brotherhood and for your friendship, and we're blessed to have you on the show.
It's good to be here.
Yeah. So, Brendan, how old are you?
How old do you think I am?
30?
31.
31.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. So he's in the age frame of Jesus's public ministry, right? And so he's living public ministry right now. So Brendan, we just want to launch into your testimony. Can you share with us a little bit about, well, first, I know in high school you were a wild, goofy dude, like, and your goofiness has continued into your ministry and all of that. But what can you just share the weirdest, like, funniest story you have from high school?
Yeah, probably the weirdest. Well, I don't know if it's the weirdest, but it's so we had lunch hour. So I went to a pretty small Catholic school, but it was just like a little family, and we just teased it. In a fun way, we teased everybody and the teachers, and we all had a good time. And so this one day during lunch, I was like, all right, guys, we're all going to go in, and we're going to line up at the bathroom, and we're all just going to go kindergarten style. And
wait, what is going to the bathroom kindergarten style?
You know, like,
style
kindergarten
mean?
Style is just trousers all the way down at the floor.
Actually, my son's kindergarten teacher sent an email out telling us that we had to teach our kids how to pee with their pants up.
Oh, so not go.
Yeah, they didn't like that.
So all ladies can tune out right now. Yeah. Guys, this one's for you.
Locker room talk right now. Yeah. Okay, sorry.
So we had like 10 urinals. So there were like 10 of us. And then we had somebody go get one of our theology teachers and tell him something was going wrong. And so I was like the lookout guy. I wasn't participating.
Okay.
And I just watch him walk in, and he walks in and he's like, oh my gosh. And just walks out. He's like, you guys are idiots. And we were like, this is the best day ever. Like, that's what I lived for.
Yeah.
And I still kind of do.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. So see, life with Christ is a wonderful adventure.
It is.
So Brendan, we just want to hear what God's done in your life. So you grew up in a Catholic family. You did the Catholic school bit. Where did God first really start tugging on your heart?
It was either junior or senior year of high school, and when our other theology teacher, who we didn't, well, no, we still annoyed him, but not in this way. I just used to sleep in his class, but we've made amends. We became friends right after I graduated.
Yeah.
So he started doing First Friday adoration at the chapel in school, and I didn't know why, but I didn't grow up in a youth group or anything, so I didn't have a relationship with Jesus at all. We went to Mass every Sunday and said meal prayers, and that was the extent of it. But I would go and sit in adoration. Just, I was drawn into the peace of it, and the silence of it. I'd started kind of exploring some more new age stuff, junior, senior year, because I was hungering for that peace. I was looking for something more. You know, I was trying to fill that God-shaped hole in my heart, and I was trying to fill it with all these other things except for him, which is like the story of my life and I think humanity's life. So I would just sit in adoration, and then I would also lead the chapel of Divine Mercy every day after school. Again, just there was something familiar about it, but I still didn't have a personal, living, transformative relationship with Jesus and a life animated by the Holy Spirit.
Did your teacher like invite you guys to adoration? Was it mandatory? What was
it? Was when we had it, the class would go for like 15 minutes, but I would even go like during my study hall, and I just loved going. And then I decided one Lent to go to daily Mass on Fridays of Lent, and that's really where I encountered Jesus for the first time in the liturgy, in the silence, in the contemplation, just hearing the scriptures. And really hearing, I think, for the first time, the words of consecration, the words, this is my body, this is my blood, and falling in love with Jesus in the Eucharist. So he drew me in to himself through the Eucharist, and kind of the turning point was, I'd graduated high school in 2004, and then went to Myrtle Beach for our senior trip, like not the like school organized senior trip where, you know, you go to DC, but like the like senior trip you see in
spring break senior trip.
So 35 of us were in one house together.
Wow.
Down in Myrtle Beach.
Was this a co-ed opportunity?
That doesn't matter. Yeah, it was.
Okay, so it's probably not the wholesomest of environments.
No, oh my gosh, no, not at all. And so this is a few weeks after we graduate high school. And I remember we would go out and play miniature golf every single day because, as everybody knows, Myrtle Beach has the best miniature golf courses.
Mm-hmm. So we did preaching.
Yeah, so we did a whole tournament the whole week. My friend had like 8 hole-in-ones on one course and tied the course record with Jim Kelly.
Was he a witch?
No.
What?
Well, he might have been. So, but I remember one day we were in the middle of all this sin of that week, we drove past the Catholic church and I was like, oh, I'd like to go to daily Mass like tomorrow if possible. And I always had like this 1 foot in, 1 foot out. I think like the romantic side of me loved the things of the church and I loved the rituals and I still love all the rituals, but it was just a few weeks after that I went to a Steubenville conference, and for the first time, subjectively, because all along, objectively, I had been encountering Jesus Christ. Subjectively, I encountered him in such a personal way that it, like, I couldn't not change. You know, he came, he is before all things. He's the creator of all things. He's bigger than everything. And he, this infinite God, encountered me, a finite creature, and totally transformed me. I think, like, physically, emotionally, spiritually, psychologically, like, my whole world just turned in that weekend.
Yeah, there's I think a lot of people can probably identify that with where we're going through all of the Catholic motions, but we haven't experienced or encountered the Christ, right? Like, that we're in his real presence, but his real presence isn't in us. And that ultimately what that leads to is that, yeah, we're living this life where you've got 1 foot in, and I think you kind of experienced that, right? You've got 1 foot in the church, but then the other foot was in the world. And would you say at that point, before having Christ come in you and really, were you living under his authority, or were you living under your own authority?
Yeah, I definitely wasn't. And I can still see, you know, because we have these habits. It takes a while to form a habit, and it takes a long time to break a habit. And I'm still, I think, really trying to sort all this out, the 1 foot in, 1 foot out type thing. We're really giving Jesus authority over me in every single way. And I think that's the Christian life, you know?
Yeah.
That's not going to stop, you know, until I die, I think. But despite all my sin, he loved me before I even thought of him. That's the amazing thing about who God is that he sought us out, and he's been seeking us out ever since he had a thought of us.
So in the stupid old conference, Jesus's real presence kind of entered into your life. What happens next?
Pretty much everything changes. I started going back and leading retreats at my high school, not knowing what I was doing or anything. You know, I went to OU, which at the time was non-reputable magazine puts out a list of top party schools every year. And OU was like
number one,
yeah, two for a lot of years running. So I went to OU, just couldn't have been in, I think, a more dangerous environment. But I would run from class to daily mass and then to my next class. And then I would go to adoration and just sit in the chapel for 2-3 hours every day. And I only had one other brother who I could lean on back then. Like, I couldn't even go down there now, I think, and face all the temptation. But at the time, God surrounded me just with himself, I think. He gave me such a hunger, such, you know, I think I was definitely in the, what you might call the honeymoon phase of everything, where it was easy. And so I eventually ended up leaving there and going to study theology at Ohio Dominican and living with you, Dan.
Yeah, definitely. So,
Did you know that?
Yeah, I didn't. I forgot. no, but so ultimately, Brendan, what God's also like, so that was 10 years ago. But now, even recently, God, what I love about the Lord is he's never done with us, right? And he doesn't want us to have one conversion and be done, right? He wants us to constantly grow. And so what has God, over the years and even recently, how has God been just radically changing your life and calling you deeper?
Yeah, the two greatest commandments, love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. I've always struggled the biggest with the yourself part. So I've never loved myself very well. And the Lord really began to pour out some healing in my life this, just the past couple years as I opened my wounds to him. As I heard a couple words from him this past summer where he really, really, really spoke just new life into me. And I, you know, even as I had a conversion to Jesus, I've always struggled with loving myself and not feeling good enough for God. And mostly because of just like the things that the different traumas that have happened to me in my life. And so I always approached God in a way where I'm saying, Lord, like, I'm sorry for this. I'm sorry for that. And even still, like this, like today, I just started my prayer like that because I'm always focusing on my sin, not being good enough for the Lord. And there was a moment where the Lord spoke to me after I was like, all right, Lord, I'm sorry for this. I'm sorry for this. I'm sorry for this. And I was thinking about something that happened to me early in my life. And I heard the Lord say to me, like the God of the universe who has always existed, never not existed, created all things, holds all things in existence. And he said to me, like, he said, I'm so sorry. He looked into my life and he saw these situations and he said to me, I'm so sorry that this happened to you. You know, when we, like, something happens to us in our lives, say with the loss of somebody, that's typically what we hear from like our friends, like, oh, I'm sorry that happened to you. And that brings us a certain amount of comfort. But to hear it from God, right? As if God even needs to apologize for anything. As if he needed to do anything. But yet he went to the cross. And so he can definitely say these words to us. It's sort of a scandal to hear God say that. But is there a greater scandal than the cross? You know, God himself dying for man.
Yeah. I think there's a... I just want to pause on that real quick and just let that soak in, right? So, Brendan, you just shared about that we experience these wounds that are sometimes placed upon us, and the Lord was... He was expressing his sorrow over those wounds being placed upon you. And I think so many of us can have a conversion with Jesus and be living life in Christ, and yet we just carry our wounds with us our entire lives, and we never allow the Lord to free us from those wounds. Can you relate to that at all? Were you carrying wounds around?
Yeah, and I remember I was praying with somebody really when the Lord just blasted into my life. And I was like, man, I feel like, I've just picked up all these different burdens over my life and I'm just carrying around these burdens. And somebody I was praying with, they said to me, no, you did not pick these up. This is not your fault. These were actually thrown onto you. You don't need to keep saying sorry for this. And, you know, the Lord speaks to us in our own language, I think. Mm-hmm. And so he spoke to me in my own language and I saw these burdens that had been thrown upon me just as like cow manure or something, as just like...
It's cow manure. Okay.
Yeah, can I say...
Cow patty.
Yeah, can I say crap on there?
Yeah, you okay. could say... I think that's allowed.
Okay.
If that's what the Lord was revealing
yeah.
to you.
Oh, yeah. And I, you know, because we... Like, I just... All this crap had been thrown on me, especially early on in my life, and I'd just been carrying these around. But the beautiful thing was... I was like, oh my gosh, you know, I'm from Lancaster, Ohio. And when you drive around, you start to smell these different things and you start to smell the cow manure and you smell it because they're yeah. putting it in the fields
yeah.
because it's fertile mm. and things can grow in it. And that's what the Lord was saying. He's like, oh, I'm not just going to take this away. I'm actually going to plant life into this. I'm going to plant living vegetation. And he showed me just this living like a rainforest almost, and birds and like rainbows and all this stuff, and it just rocked my world, and as only God can do, it was totally unexpected. There's this from the Book of Common Prayer, their prayer for the first week of Advent. It begins, "Unexpected God, your Advent alarms us," and I just love to call God, like, you are the unexpected God. Like,
yeah.
to become man is so, so unexpected. Mm-hmm. And to do what he's done in my life, despite all of my sin and despite my ingratitude and how half-hearted I am, he still pursues me.
Mm. I just want to call that image that you put forth, well, I guess that God put forth in your prayer to mind for our listeners, right? That God, that... There's these burdens that were being placed upon you, right? And that so many of us, I love how you said, Brendan, that you didn't do anything sometimes to receive these wounds. Other people's sin impacts us. And so we can experience these heavy burdens and they're put upon us, but that God wants to not always just take them away, but what you said, bring forth life through them. So how have you seen him bring life through that?
I think just... we see Jesus when he comes to the apostles and Mary in the Acts. I don't know if it's in the Acts or in the Gospels. I can't remember. And it says he comes into the upper room, and the first thing he does, he shows him his hands. And so our Lord Jesus, who is God and has every reason not to show his wounds, first thing he does to his disciples, he shows them his wounds. And so, especially in youth ministry, I always speak to the kids. I'm like, I'm just trying to be as authentic as possible about who I am and where I've been. And I think, if anybody is listening right now, just know that the Lord, he wants to say to you, if something happened to you in your life, if somebody did something to you, somebody said something to you, the voice of Jesus Christ, he wants to say to you, I'm so sorry that this happened. Jesus did not will for this to happen, but he wants to bring greater good out of it, I think.
Mm-hmm. Amen. 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 I just want to spend a few minutes just maybe praying for those people, right? That Lord, you've placed people's burdens upon, or Lord, you know people who have had burdens placed upon their hearts, and you feel for their pain and their sorrow. And we just want to pray that you would free them, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit, free them. Lord, we pray that you would allow them to experience your love in a life-changing way. Free them, Lord, from these burdens. Lift up the weight that they carry, Lord. Allow them to know that you are sorrowful for the hurt that they have and that you want to give them new life. Come, Holy Spirit, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Excellent. Brendan, thanks for sharing that. We're going to take a short break, and we're going to be right back and hear a little bit more about your life-changing ministry.
Welcome back to Encounter, the show that brings you the life-changing encounters of ordinary people that launch them to lives of extraordinary mission. My name is Patrick Rice, and I'm back on the show with my co-host Dan Demite, and we have Brendan O'Rourke again. He's still in the studio. Yay, you didn't leave.
What's up, Brendan?
No, I tried.
Brendan, on the last segment, you talked about... yeah, we like, cuff him down, all right? So Brendan's in a straitjacket right now, tied to his chair. But Brendan, one of the things I love from this testimony is, like, I love the way that you... you honestly talk about the wounds that you have. But the thing is, like, you know, God's not just bringing, like, good things out of these wounds and you're kind of just dealing with it, you know? But, like, I love how there's a story of restoration. That God, like, he doesn't just bring us back to a state, you know, kind of where we were, maybe a little bit less. No, he actually restores us to a place that's greater than where we were before. Like, when we fell in the garden, like, when man fell... it actually paved the way for us to have not just a fullness of human nature, but a divine nature that we get to share in through Christ. That, you know, God actually made our situation is better because of the fall, right? And can you talk about, like, the restoration that you've experienced that in your own life that's flown into ministry and maybe even some of the healing that's happened through your ministry now?
Yeah, it's not like, oh, here, I've got these wounds and now I can, like, tell people... you're going to be better. So it makes me just feel better in a psychological sense or something like that.
Yeah.
But Jesus, it's in God's nature to heal and to bring restoration. He wants to heal and he wants to restore. And so he's brought me to an even greater place. Not to say that I'm in, like, a perfect place, because none of us will be in a perfect place on earth. You know, I struggle every day. I still, you know, I go to counseling and because there's tools for us in the world, and I pray with a lot of people. I mean, there was, Patrick, it was a couple hours last year when we prayed, and we really started to unpack a lot of this stuff, and you just very simply, in the name of Jesus, took authority over an area of my life, and then I just couldn't stop laughing for, like, a half hour straight, and it was
so good.
Yeah, and it was weird too, like, because it was so sustained, and I remember I was like, is this gonna stop? And I'm like crying and like sweating and laughing because God had just done something. You know, when he does something to us, a lot of times there's a external manifestation, and I think that's what was clearly happening there.
Jesus brought more joy into your life and freedom into your life?
Well, he's brought more joy into my life by him. I mean, he is joy itself. He is intimacy with him is joy. You know, when he says, go into your inner room and pray to your Father in secret and you'll receive your reward. The reward, that's the reward. Is that we have access to God, that we can communicate with the Almighty, that he actually lets us access him. Unbelievable.
Amen. Amen to that.
Now, Brendan, one of the things that we love is the when you lead us in worship and praise and worship. Can you talk about, like, what role that's played in your life and what you see God doing in worship in general?
Yeah, it really, going back to when I had a conversion to the Lord at Steubenville. I, you know, started playing guitar in eighth grade, and by learning every Dave Matthews Band song possible. So that's how I taught myself guitar. And I, you know, I would play like coffee shops in high school, and that was like the thing to kids would all, like the whole school would come. And even when I went to OU, I thought I still like wanted to get like a secular music career going. But as soon as I had that conversion at Steubenville, I just started learning all these songs and started leading students in these songs of praise and worship. And I'm sure there are like papers written about it in books, but I don't know what it is about music. You know, there's these frequencies that sound good when they go together, you know, like 440 hertz is an A. And when you put that together with an E and then you put it in a C sharp, that gives you an E chord, or that gives you an A chord, and it sounds pleasant to the ears. And we see in the Psalms, God actually is instructing us to sing through David. And I've just seen in my life, this is how I've come to pray a lot. And this is how through like Catholic Youth Summer Camp and youth ministry, but just the church at large and the parish where I am right now, St. Catherine, just how music has such an effect on people, because it does lead us to the transcendent. There's something so beautiful. We respond to beauty because I think behind it, we recognize who the author of all beauty is.
I think it's interesting because our world, our human nature almost desires, we were built to worship God, right? And so if we don't worship God, ultimately, because we are fashioned to worship, we're going to worship something or someone, mm-hmm. right? And so what we find people worshiping sports, like mm-hmm. they worship these athletic teams, or then, or like you were talking about, they worship musicians, right? Like some musicians get up on a stage and people almost, they worship them and they talk about them all the time. We worship like movie stars. It's just amazing how our culture is a culture of worship, no matter what, because we are people who are fashioned for worship. And then what you described is almost like this. You used to play at coffee shops, right? And I'm sure in high school, like everyone's like, "Oh, Brandon, you're so good. That's so nice," you know. And mm-hmm. like, and people
yeah.
like
no, they were
they na- yeah they naturally worship the musician, right? But then when God fashions you or positions you into ministry, it's almost the music minister is no longer center stage. He goes in the back, right? Mm-hmm. And he's leading the people into true worship, into the Father. And there's just something so profound about that, almost humbling about it, right? Can you speak into how,
I remember
in ministry, you've experienced that?
I remember the first time I went back to my high school as a freshman in college to help with a retreat and to lead some music. And a kid came up to me afterwards, and he's like, "Man, you had it all, and you gave it all up." And I was like, what? First of all, I didn't have it all. I was just like a stupid high schooler.
Yeah.
But that, you know, we live in our small world, and he saw me as giving it all up to follow Jesus and to no longer pursue that life. And I hadn't even like stopped to think. It just, I got in the river and it was rushing, and I was like, here we go.
Amen. I love that. That's awesome. Yeah. And that, you know, I want to pray right now that happens to people, mm-hmm. right? That if you have it all for the world, I just pray that you give it all up and that you just allow yourself to be baptized in and through the Spirit, where he takes everything that God has given you and you give it all back to him. Mm-hmm. There's something beautiful about living under the authority of Jesus, right? That it's not... we don't want to live under our own authority, but we just want to fall under his command and allow him to lead us down this river.
Yeah, I can. It's like, I was thinking about this yesterday. Like, I can barely get out of bed in the morning, like when my alarm goes off, and yet most of the time I think I know better than God. Like, I can barely get through the day, like doing just like washing the dishes, cleaning up my room, doing my work, being nice to people, and I'm like, I don't need to listen to you, God.
Like, yeah, we're exhausted in just living life, and yet the author of life says, "Hey, I've got something better for mm-hmm. you," and we often reject it. Can you share any graces you've seen in ministry, like any lives you've seen changed, or like as you're leading people into worship, or as you're praying over people, just people's lives radically being changed for the Lord?
Yeah, we were just praying last week, a couple weeks ago at youth group, and we did a night on healing and Jesus as healer, because it's in his nature to heal. And I just said to any students, if you want to come pray for physical healing, we can do that. And this is all new to me, too, like praying for physical healing. And so I'm like stepping out in faith big time with them, but they're hungry for it. And so one girl came up and she had a wrist brace on and she had just injured her wrist and she said it was bruised. So very simply, like 30 seconds, I just prayed, you know, wrist be healed in the name of Jesus, bruising vanish, or I don't remember what word, but bruising go away in the name of Jesus. And we just prayed with it. Amen. She takes her brace off. She's like, oh my gosh, the bruises are gone. It feels great. And
wow.
And she's like, I'm so happy, but I'm kind of like, this is crazy.
Yeah.
And even me, like I'm always astonished when the Lord works, and
he's unexpected, Brendan.
Yeah, unexpected, yeah. God.
Amen, amen. I think it's, I love how you said just a few weeks ago, right? Because I think sometimes we have these stories from the past where God worked, but he's not working in the present, right? And someone once told me, if the stories that you're sharing about God working aren't recent stories, then you aren't doing ministry, right?
Amen.
That like all authentic ministers are ministering in the now. So we're not telling stories from the past that God did this one day a long time ago. No, we're ministering in the now, that God is working today, and we should expect this unexpected God is going to work today, right? And that's awesome. Any other, like, has God, have you, like, what have you seen from people's faces in worship ministry?
That's what I was just going to say. And recently, just in the past few weeks, we've, you know, I'm so used to leading young people, high schoolers and college students in music. But for older people, that's what's really touched me just in the past few weeks, seeing like elderly men be visibly moved by music has been just one of the just most touching things in my life. Like, and you know, we all grew up singing that song, Here I Am, Lord. And I kind of made fun of it for a few years. But I've started singing it lately with people, especially in these settings where it's just intergenerational, because I think that song speaks to most American Catholics' lived experience. We've all heard it. Most of us grew up with it, regardless of age. And whenever we sing that song, out of all the songs we sing for the evening, it's always the loudest. And it always, and I can see these people who are in their 70s and 80s singing, and they're just moved to tears. And to see a man in his 70s or 80s moved to tears as he prays the song, Here I Am, Lord, and hearing and praying the words that I have heard my people's cry. And I can see God like binding up people's wounds as we sing this song, has been really, really, really amazing.
Amen. Brendan, can you close us in prayer and just help lead us to give our lives over to the Lord like that?
Sure. In the name of the Father and of the Son, of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Unexpected God, we pray that right now you would do the unexpected that we could never foresee, that you would do something right now that we could never dream, that you would do something right now that we could never have thought in our whole lives.
Yes, Lord
Jesus. Jesus, come with your healing, come with your power, come with your grace. We want more of you. We want more healing and more restoration, more hope, more joy, more peace. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you so much for joining us on Encounter. On behalf of Patrick and I, we pray that you have the grace to receive and respond to every divine encounter that God brings to you today. To learn more about us and the show, or how you can share your life-changing encounter with our audience, please visit encounterradio.org. That's encounterradio.org.